It's the Joe and Alex Show. Who cares about this garbage?
President Trump says former White House staffer Omarosa is a lowlife.
I better not go any further. Low life. She's a low life.
Everybody that he hires and gets rid of, they're losers, but I hired them.
After being on Trump's reality show, Omarosa served as a senior advisor to the president until she and the White House parted ways. In her upcoming book, Unhinged, Omarosa claims that Trump used racial slurs on the set of his reality show, The Apprentice. She says that he's a racist and a bigot. She doesn't have evidence, but Omarosa claims that tapes exist of Trump using the N-word repeatedly on the reality show's set. She acknowledges that she's never been able to obtain or hear the tapes, but said that three unnamed sources told her all about them. In the book, she paints Trump as scattered, self-absorbed, misogynistic, insecure, and that he's declining mentally. The book is set for release tomorrow. The White House has already slammed it as riddled with lies and false accusations.
Fake books! Fake books!
Cardi B tweeted that her daughter, Culture, is always sticking out her middle finger. She wrote, minutes after my daughter was born, she was sticking out her middle finger, and she stays doing it all the time now. She's so disrespectful. Wonder where she got it from. Cardi B and Offset secretly married in June, and their baby was born last month.
I can't wait to hear that baby talk.
Because she'll sound like Cardi B.
Yes.
John Mayer's home in Beverly Hills was robbed on Friday morning. The burglar or burglars made off with music equipment as well as several of his watches. The value of the items stolen was between $100,000 and $200,000. No one was home at the time of the robbery, and it wasn't known if his alarm system was on, but a security guard found a window that was broken around noon and called the cops, and so far no one has been arrested.
God, that would scare the crap out of me if like I'm a big celebrity and people are somehow breaking into my place.
Ruby Rose deleted her Twitter account after she received heavy criticism for being cast as a lesbian superhero in Batwoman. Woman in the new CW series. It was announced last week that the Orange is the New Black actress was going to play the superhero in the upcoming series. She was slammed on social media after the announcement with some complaining that she isn't good enough as an actress and she isn't Jewish, unlike the character of Kate Kane. Why? I don't understand all of this. Like, you're not exactly who the character is, so you can't play them. It's acting. That's the point.
You're supposed to be a character like some of the best actors. For example, like my favorite, Tom Hanks. How many different roles do they do? And they're so good at acting that you forget about their other role. Like when I see him on screen, I'm not like, wait a minute, that's Forrest Gump.
Right. Like you're just whoever's the best person for the part, acting-wise. That's who gets the part. I don't understand. Anyway, a Spice Girls reunion tour has been hinted at for years now, but it probably won't happen after Mel B's tell-all autobiography is out. A source said that after the book comes out, there's going to be no hope of the Spice Girls getting back together. It's going to dig up a lot of old dirt. Mel will allegedly detail several conflicts that she had with her fellow bandmates. One is when Mel asked Victoria Beckham for some free dresses from her new clothing line, and I guess Victoria was like, well, you need to pay for them. So,
well, I mean, if you give everything away for free, how are you going to make any money?
Yeah. 50 Cent revealed that he and Eminem have some new ideas that they could be working together on. In a recent interview, 50 said that he met up with Eminem in London while he was on his revival tour. He said, there's a few ideas I've been working on. When I was working with Em recently in London, he said that he had a few ideas that maybe we could work together on. When a fan asked 50 when the music would be released, he said, I don't know when we get a chance to record them. The two haven't worked together since 2012's My Life. That is the garbage.
All right, this is insane. The video is up on the Need to Know News blog at radio90.com. But a 29-year-old ground service agent, he was with Horizon Air, stole a 76-foot turboprops plane from Seattle Tacoma International Airport. He took to the skies, and he actually performed stunts. Like, this guy just was almost like he was in a video simulator, but he was flying this plane around, and then there was, like, military jets, F-15s, that flew after him because they don't know what this guy's doing. Is he going to crash into a building?
Right. Is it a terrorist attack?
Exactly. And this guy was communicating with ground control. After about an hour in the air, the plane crashed about 40 miles away from the airport. The pilot, his name's Richard Russell, was pronounced dead after the crash, and it was not caused by the military jets. A lot of people are like, oh, they must have shot him down, because that's what I thought at first.
Right.
Because there's a lot of video out there of this guy flying around, but there's nothing of him actually crashing, at least that's been out there so far. But it's like, it's crazy. This guy actually did something. The officials were talking to him. He's like, I'm going to try to do one of those like loop things. He's like, I play video games. Almost like Grand Theft Auto.
He said that?
Yes. So he took this plane up to like 5,000 feet or so. He pulls the, I think it's the yoke, whatever it is, but he pulls the thing all the way back to like lift the plane up. And he goes, and it looks like he's almost going to crash into the water.
Holy cow.
But he does a full like loop, and then he keeps on flying. But residents nearby are concerned. They don't know what's happening. Like, oh my God, this is going to crash into us. Because
right.
It's just above the tree line.
I I would be so freaking scared.
Yeah, this is just sad. The crash, like I said, was not caused by the planes. Airport officials couldn't be sure if what the pilot was doing was stunts or just a lack of flying skills. That's what they said before the plane went down. The CEO of Alaskan Airlines, which owns Horizon Air, expressed sadness for the family of the pilot and said the airline is working with the FAA, FBI, and the NTSB to investigate exactly what happened. Now, here's audio of him talking to the people up in the command tower.
Horizon 2239, runway 16, strike, clear to land.
I got a lot of people that care about me, and it's going to disappoint them to hear that I did this. I would like to apologize to each and every one of them. Just a broken guy, got a few screws loose, I guess. Never really knew it until now.
If you go too much further in that direction, I won't be able to hear you anymore.
All right. Hey, pilot guy, can this thing do a backflip, you think? I'm going to land it, in a safe kind of manner. I think I'm going to try to do a barrel roll, and if that goes good, I'll just go nose down and call it a night.
He said pilot guy.
Yeah, I mean, he seemed like he was confident, but then kidding, so they don't know. He seemed like a normal guy, according to his family, the more I'm reading about this, but it sounds like he also had some, I don't know if he had depression, emotional issues, something
well,
was going
like
on
it.
With him.
He was suicidal, that, for
yeah,
sure.
And it's just sad right there, but it's insane to see Jeez. This plane. You're like, what the hell is it doing? And it goes up in the air and does a flip. It's like, oh my gosh. So you can see that video. Gentlemen, if you're listening right now, all across the country, be careful. There's a new scam out there. We kind of mentioned this the other week, but now it's amping up. We are receiving letters, I say, fellow men out there, in the mail that read, quote, "I know about the secret you were keeping from your wife and everyone else. More importantly, I have evidence of what you've been hiding." Then the letter demands a large Bitcoin payment to make the secret go away. The FBI says affluent neighborhoods, well, not where I live, I guess, then nationwide are being hit by a scam. One guy says he got a letter from a guy named Gus who claimed to have webcam images of him watching porn. He said Gus wanted $8,000. Well, Gus doesn't know that I have a webcam that's been blocked since I got it. Like, he put
Ooh.
Tape over it, so it's like, yeah. Oh, okay, I think this is a scam right here. But we talked about this. Guys, this has already been happening. So obviously they're looking at porn or doing something online, like on their laptop, and they don't want to get busted, so they're sending in money. I would be like, Lindsay, I got to be honest. I was checking out a website last night. Don't know what happened, but just so you know.
You're going to admit everything.
I will. She's like, wow. She's like, that email I sent you worked. I can feel like my wife would scam me. So be careful. Speaking of guys, there's a brewery in Ireland that just created a new beer that specifically is designed to boost your sex drive. They say it's one key ingredient inside there. It's called watercress. Liv, you know a lot about veggies. Have you had watercress?
Mm-hmm.
Do you like it?
Yeah, I think watercress is in a lot of, like, Chinese food.
No wonder I love Chinese food. It's one of my favorite.
It's good. Maybe it's like an aphrodisiac or something.
It must be something, but they're saying they're putting it into beer, and it's only in Ireland. It's not here yet, but I don't know. What do you think they'll call it if they bring it here to America? Like boner beer or something?
Yeah, 100%.
Probably, yeah. There you go. So a couple more things. Halloween, whether we want to talk about it or not, they're already getting stuff out there. And I forget what we talked about, but or what everybody thought. Candy corn. Do you like it, Alex, or is it gross?
No, it's disgusting. It has no taste.
Live the web,
gross.
Girl. Okay. I think it's okay if you eat it with peanuts, but I hate candy corn.
Ew.
I'm with you both. I'm saying it's not bad if you mix it with peanuts. It's okay. Now, they're trying to ruin the best candy ever, which will be Sour Patch Kids.
Nope.
And they're going to have like a mixture of Sour Patch candy corn.
You better
Ew.
Not.
They're going to have sour dusted candy corn.
Canceled.
Ew.
Yep, just want to throw that out there. Do not buy that junk. And finally, I hope neither one of you ever get arrested, Alex or Liv. But if you do, I hope you both look as good as this woman. Have you seen this? A woman in Texas was arrested way back in February, but now her photo's going viral. It's her looking so good in her mugshot. Someone tweeted a few weeks ago about the picture they found of her, and it's went viral. So now they're bombarding her like, girl, what's your makeup routine? This girl now, Alex, is creating an Instagram account
You're
and
kidding.
YouTube. Because her makeup looks incredible.
Let us see.
I'll put the photo up on our website, radionowindy.com. Hold on, I don't know if I have it right here for you. I'm going to have to try to pull it up so you can actually check it out on the website right there.
That's like so annoying because I know so many girls that want to have their like a makeup YouTube channel take off. And then this girl got viral for getting arrested.
Why are you hating on her getting arrested?
I mean, I'm not hating on her getting arrested, but I was a girl that wanted to start a makeup YouTube channel.
Well, it's not too late.
Oh, wow. Yeah,
see? Okay, see?
She's pretty.
Yeah. She is very pretty.
And that's after, she's in full prison gear.
What did she get arrested for?
I'm not sure here. I'll have to look at it though, but Liv, maybe you need to do something to get arrested. What do you think you could do?
I one time got a citation before, so.
Oh, but
that was as close as I'm ever going
to
get.
We need to get you in cuffs, though.
No.
No, it'll be good for the show, too. Make sure you're wearing like a Joe and Alex show shirt, okay?
I'll make sure my makeup looks excellent.
Yes. Please don't get arrested with whatever you're doing this morning. We already got, do we have a video of that on our Instagram?
Yes. Yeah. Well, I took a video of Liv's outfit. That'll go viral, but it's not going
to
help her.
For all the wrong reasons. That's Joe's Need to Know News. Hey, put that finger down. It is the Joe and Alex show. We got everybody in the house today. Me, Alex, how are you?
I'm doing great.
Liv the Web Girl, how's life?
It's ballin'.
Oh, ballin'. Dang, I thought you were going to say hanging and banging, but ballin's pretty bad too. Hope you're having a good day. Follow us, Joe and Alex Show, on Twitter and Instagram. American Idol Live, they're going to be coming to town, and we want to hook you up all this week with fifth row, fourth row, third row, second, and first on Friday. We're counting it down. They'll be here at the, Marat?
Yeah, the Marat.
Marat Theater at Old National Center Wednesday, the 22nd of August. Let's start out, because we're going to need a lot of people probably playing, unless Stephanie's amazing. 317-239-1009. Keep on calling. We're going to play a little game today. Hey, Stephanie, how are you?
How are you?
We're doing good. Did you miss us while we were gone?
I sure did.
Yeah, but don't we sound better? We went to this little boot camp for radio, so, I mean, doesn't the show sound like way better than it did before?
180 degrees.
Yep. Mm-hmm. See, I told you it was worth it. Gotta let our bosses know. All right, today is a very special day. Does anybody know what today is?
No, what is it?
Stephanie, do you know what today is besides Monday?
I'm at a loss.
Oh, my goodness. Well, hopefully you get to celebrate this. Today is International Left-Handers Day. Where are all my left-handed people at? Let me see you wave.
Are you left-handed?
Yes.
No,
I didn't know that.
Oh, my God, I'm left-handed.
You are?
You've never noticed?
No. Congratulations.
Then why do you use your right hand for the mouse?
Well, it depends on different things. Plus, like, as you can see, the world I live in, Alex, there's not a lot of left-handed mouses, is there?
I don't know. Is there not?
No, this mouse is made for right-handed people.
Is there right-handed privilege in this world?
Oh, there's a lot of right-handed privilege. Oh, you laugh about it. Here, look at these scissors. Tell me which way they're designed.
They're for right hands.
No, scissors you can use with either hand.
No.
You can't?
Oh, Liv, you're so young and naive.
Wait, you can't use scissors for each?
I can, but these scissors are designed to cut with my right hand.
No.
Go ahead, take a piece of paper. Grab
it's
a piece of paper.
It's literally the exact same. Look, your your fingers go in the bigger hole at the bottom, and your thumb goes in the top small one. It's the same freaking way.
No. Cut. Here. Sorry we have to do a sidetrack here, Stephanie. I hope you mind.
Well, no, I'm not left-handed, right. So it's going to look bad.
No,
but...
go ahead. Cut it like you normally would. Oh, does that look like it's smooth? No. Now try cut it with your right hand. Oh, you're going to take your sweet time? See?
See? It's the same.
Now cut
it's
it with your right hand.
Same.
Cut it with your right hand.
Well, obviously I'm right-handed, so it's going to be
easier. Look how quick it cuts it like butter. Oh my God, it's like one of those infomercials.
Basically what we're learning is that left-handers in this world have it a lot harder than right-handers.
Yep. Okay, well today is a special day though. It is International Left-Handers Day, and it's going to be quite simple. And by that I mean this is going to be a total crapshoot. Are these famous people left or right-handed? If you can get three in a row right, you win, okay?
That's hard.
All right.
Okay. Let's start out here, the first one. And I hope you win, Stephanie, but if you can't get three in a row right, we got to hang up on you and other people can call in. 317-239-1009. Let's start out with President Barack Obama, our former president. Is he left or right-handed?
Left-handed.
One for one. Nice. Let's take it to the music world. Selena Gomez. Is she left or right-handed?
Oh, left-handed?
Oh, no. She's right-handed. Sorry, Stephanie.
Bye, Stephanie.
Thank you.
Bye. See?
This is really hard. It's just by chance. No one's going
to
know
these. It's not true. I think some people know. And listen, I want to bring attention to the people that are left-handed just like me.
Awareness.
If you don't know, shame upon you. Let's go to Rachel. Hey, Rachel on the Joe and Alex Show. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Wonderful. Are you left-handed?
No, I'm right-handed.
Ooh, should I hang up on her?
No.
Okay.
Let her play.
Okay. I'm just kidding. Rachel, is Bill Gates right or left-handed?
Left-handed.
What makes you say left-handed?
My son's left-handed. I think they're a little bit more intelligent.
Oh, left-handers are more intelligent. I don't necessarily doubt that.
All right. Well, let's see here. That is correct.
Wow, good job.
All right. What about... Oprah Winfrey, is she right or left-handed?
Right-handed.
Mm. Oh, you got to know that Oprah's left-handed.
Joe.
Oprah.
We're going to be here all day.
This is not that hard, is it?
Yes.
Okay, let's try Chrissy. 317-239-1009. Chrissy, are you right or left-handed?
I'm left-handed, but I was taught to be right-handed.
Oh, your parents tried to convert you to something that you're not, huh?
They tried to shame you.
Yes.
See, do you get an awkward giggle like she's still dealing with it right
now?
Yeah,
she's in therapy.
It's all right. Well, hey, you be who you want to be. You're an adult. Let's see if you can get three in a row right here and win these American Idol fifth row tickets. Ryan Gosling, that hottie with a body. Ryan Gosling, left or right-handed?
Right-handed.
You said that very quickly. Okay, that is correct.
Good job.
Let's see here. Alex, ever heard of Taylor Swift?
Of course.
Is Taylor Swift left or right-handed?
Right-handed.
Yes, you're so close!
Alex, you have the list over there. I have. Take my list. You pick out the next person. Let's see if we can win it right now. Three in a row for Chrissy. If this celebrity is left or right-handed.
Why is Kermit the Frog on this list?
He's
not
a celebrity.
A real person.
Yes, he is. Oh, Kermit! That sounds piggy, sorry. But yes, you doing Kermit the Frog? Who are you doing?
No, let's do Eminem.
Left-handed.
Left-handed, Joe?
Left-handed.
You are correct!
By the way, Kermit the Frog, left-handed, apparently.
What he is! Kermit the Frog's left-handed. You look at me like I made that up.
Sounds like you made it up.
Everybody, live, listen. Everybody knows Kermit the Frog.
Sounds fake, but okay.
Kermit the Frog here. I'm left-handed. Wow, my impressions are terrible. Chrissy, congratulations. You just won yourself fifth row tickets to go see American Idols live. I'm proud of that. And once again, ladies and gentlemen, today is a special day. It is National Left-Handers Day. Oh, by the way, you know who we didn't get to that's a left-hander?
Who?
You might know this person.
Celine Dion.
No matter where you're at this morning, join in and appreciate this left-hander singing this amazing song.
You're here, there's nothing I fear, and I know that my heart will go on.
Live the Web Girl, you are the youngest person on the show. What are you, 24?
Yes.
All right, and I'm only 32. I don't think I'm that old. You two probably disagree, but I just been finding lately that I don't know what the kids are saying anymore. I don't know what's cool, what's hip.
That's why we've recruited Liv the Web Girl, our producer and sidekick on the show, to keep us updated.
All right, so Liv, tell us, I guess, what the new slang words are. What's going on with the kiddos out there?
Okay, so have you heard on like flex on them and you're like flex?
Yes.
Yeah. Like I'm going to roll up and be tough, right?
Yeah, it's like to show that you're cooler or stronger than another person and kind of like showing off like, ooh, flex on him.
Yeah.
Flex on him.
I like that one. I've said that one before.
And been like, oh, damn, he's trying to flex. Like,
Show off.
Yeah, okay. So okay, you guys know that one.
So is it cool to flex though, or is it like, man, don't be flexing?
Don't actually flex, Joe.
Like, pew, pew,
nope.
Pew. Look at that flex.
Nope.
You like that bicep flex?
No, Alex. Not that little kind.
That little pea.
What?
What?
That little lima bean.
This is a lima bean? I wish. Oh my God. You should see my bicep bulging right now.
Okay. And then have you guys heard of like no jumper?
No.
Yeah. Like, oh man, I got no jumpers. My car's dead.
Nope. Definitely not that. Not jumper cables. Okay. No jumper. I just think these are all so funny. No jumper is when someone isn't cool and like can't flex on people. So you're like, wow, no jumper. Like,
I've never heard this.
Well, that's my point.
Thing, and this is like, I think it's referencing like basketball.
Okay.
Yeah. So like a jumper in basketball, but like no jumper means like, hell no, you're not cool. You can't flex on people. You're embarrassing yourself.
Okay, good to know.
Like, no jumper.
See, now I'm getting confused. Like, would somebody say, like, here I am trying to flex my bicep? I'm like, no jumper, Joe.
Probably.
Yeah, probably. Oh, man. Or, like, if you were, like, dancing at, like, the bar, like, you're dancing at, like, Red Room on a Friday night.
Oh, I've been known to
like,
do that.
Oh, no jumper.
Do people type no jumper on social media?
I mean, I've seen it.
Or is this something that they just say out loud?
I think both.
Okay.
I've seen it on like people's like Instagram stories.
I was
going to
say, would somebody
like
take an Instagram story of me dancing and be like, hashtag no jumper?
100%.
Yeah, maybe not hashtag no jumper.
Oh, we're not hashtagging
like, no
anymore?
Jumper. I mean, you can hashtag.
Is that kind of a no jumper right there, me using a hashtag?
Yeah.
Yeah, like I'll use hashtags to be ironic sometimes. Sometimes I'll use them for real, but not really.
Wow.
Yeah.
I learn something new every day here.
Okay, and then do you guys know what YFM means?
YFM?
The acronym, yeah. Like, you know how like TBH means to be honest?
YFM.
YFM. Hold on, think about it.
Let's think here. All right. YFM. Alex, any idea?
M as in mom or N as in nest?
M as in mom.
Oh. Like FM. YFM.
YFM.
You freaking moron?
No. She's...
I love that. No, that's not what it means, though. But people use this. This has been all over social media.
I don't know this one.
Joe, do you have any guesses with YFM?
I would be like, you funky monkey. You know, like you getting
you
down.
Funky, you funky monkey. No, it means you feel me.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, yo, that brand new Post Malone is dizope. YFM.
Yeah, you wouldn't say it, but this is like you'll see this on Twitter, Instagram,
hashtag
texting.
I've seen this one, yeah.
I mean, Joe, we got to get over your obsession of hashtags. I don't know what it is, but hashtags are not that cool anymore, okay?
When did hashtags leave?
A while ago.
Like, I would hashtag Murder Monday because, like, that's topical. That's, like, a weekly thing that we do. And, like, if you want to find it, that's an easy way to find it. But I'm not going to hashtag YFM. Like, oh,
you
wow,
just
this
pic
is so cute. Hashtag YFM.
Yeah.
No, just type YFM.
Oh, okay.
I've got some more, but I think I'm going to save them for next time.
Oh,
we got a good little lesson here.
You left us on a cliffhanger.
I hate when that happens. All right, Liv the Web Girl right there. New slang words. Thank you, Liv.
Zodiac, a symbol that now stands for terror,
has killed five and says he's going to kill again. Psychopath.
Remember, investigators say there were unusually high levels of chloroform found in Casey Anthony's trunk.
And again, OJ appears to be holding a gun to his head.
Police won't confirm a newspaper report that Dahmer has confessed to murder and cannibalism.
It's Murder Monday on the Joe and Alex Show. Listener discretion is advised.
We're talking about Gary Ridgway this morning, a.k.a. the Green River Killer.
Ooh.
And I have photos of him and his wife all up on Instagram right now that you need to see at Joe and Alex Show on Instagram. So Gary Ridgway was convicted of murdering 49 women.
Dang.
And confessed to killing 71. The bodies of women who were usually prostitutes or runaways, piled up in the 80s and 90s in Washington State. The creepiest part about Gary Ridgway, or the Green River Killer, wasn't the amount of women he would kill, but the fact that he was a dad and used his son's pictures, or even his son himself, to lure victims into his car.
So every time I opened up my wallet, there would be a picture of my son on one side, behind my ID. There's my ID. I hide my name, flip it over, and there's my ID and my son's picture on the backside. And they'd see that, and that would lower any big defenses.
Mm-hmm.
And, kids' toys, 8-year-old toys on the dash.
The only thing that would be better than that would be to have your son in the car with you. That would be an incredible ruse.
That happened once.
What happened?
What?
Yeah. If you're wondering how someone turns into a monster like that, it's almost always the same story. Gary Ridgway lived close to the Pacific Highway South as a child, an area that was surrounded by women working the street corners. Later, that area would become his prime hunting ground for victims. His mother was physically, emotionally, and sexually abusive. His father often ranted about prostitutes and how much he hated them, and never stood up to Gary's mom for the way that she treated their son. Gary was a chronic bedwetter until he was 13, which is probably the biggest indicator that a child is being abused at home.
Hold on. Just real quick. I just want to say, I used to wet the bed too, and I haven't killed anybody.
Well, people, it's normal for kids to wet the bed, but till they're 13... that's not normal.
Okay. I was only 10.
As a punishment for bedwetting, his mom would wash him herself in front of his siblings, spending extra time in those certain areas.
13 years old.
Oh,
my gosh.
Young,
you know, prepubescent boy.
That's like, like 13, you could be, that's like incestual.
Well, he began fantasizing about his mother romantically.
Oh, no.
And at the same time, fantasized about killing her. He also deeply hated his father for his passiveness and inability to stand up to her. His father also was the first person to introduce Gary to necrophilia when he told him.
What?
Yep, he told him a story about a friend of his engaging in it at the local mortuary that he worked at.
And hell Gary, no!
I don't know what that
How
is.
How are we just passing over all
of
this?
Wait, Liv, you don't know what necrophilia is?
No.
Real quick, hold on.
Who wants to tell her?
No, real quick.
I'll look it
up. No, Google it right now. I just want your natural reaction.
Okay.
Necrophilia.
I don't even know how
Kids,
to
don't Google
that.
This. Just try it. It'll give you, like, did you mean this?
Okay.
And do Google image.
No.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
For the radio, what does it mean, Liv? Can you say it without, like, getting too into it?
It is playing Twister with or having an attraction towards a corpse.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I don't know if Twister, but you're making love to the corpse.
Yes. Liv said it nicer.
Don't come a rocket if the tombstone's not.
That's disgusting.
Oh,
well, that's
gosh.
What they did. I didn't do it.
All right. So Gary began torturing animals. He was lighting small fires.
Oh, man.
He started stalking girls as early as elementary school and even stabbed a six-year-old boy just to see what it was like. But after he was an adult, Gary started to pick up prostitutes. He found himself wanting to engage in acts with them in private that increased with violence in order to feel a certain high. He despised them, but continued to meet with them anyway. He actually ended up getting married, but they divorced very soon after because of infidelity on both counts. He then ended up meeting another woman and married her. He was obsessed with religion and made very strict rules for his wife to follow according to their pastor. He would force her to memorize passages and thought that if he and his wife became devoutly religious, maybe that would finally suppress his violent urges. But it didn't. And he starts practicing how to sneak up on women with his wife when they would be in the woods. He even nearly strangled her once. So they ended up divorcing, also because of infidelity on both counts, and that's when the first body is found. He starts killing the majority of his victims between 1982 and 1984 in and around Seattle. The victims were always prostitutes or runaways because, according to him, he was the least likely to be caught for killing them since people wouldn't be looking for them. He would strangle his victims and dumped the first five women into the Green River, earning him his nickname from the media.
I feel like I'm in an Eminem song right here. This guy's pretty strong, just tossing him in there, left
tossing
and right.
Him in. He'd show a woman a picture of his son, trick her into trusting him, and then sexually assault, strangle, and bury the body in the woods. He switched up where he dumped bodies to avoid getting caught. Sometimes after killing her is when he would decide to sexually assault her. Around 1985, Gary meets Judith Mawson, who would become his third wife and mother of his son, Matthew. The first time Judith gets invited to Gary's house, she noticed his carpet was missing in the living room. Detectives later told her that that's probably because he had wrapped a body in it.
Not cool.
Gary would tell Judith that he had to work early and get overtime, which was actually when he was stalking and killing victims. What's really wild is Gary has always maintained that he truly loved his wife, Judith, and only three of his 49 victims were killed after they were married. Judith told a reporter once that she truly believes that she helped save dozens of more lives just by being married to him and keeping him happy. And even crazier is that she had no idea a serial killer was even on the loose because she never watched the news.
How are you not? No, I don't believe any of this.
She was in the dark the whole time.
All right, see photos of this guy.
And Judith. So back in 1987, police had collected DNA evidence and had kept it, knowing that one day they could use it to catch the Green River Killer. In November of 2001, Gary was working at a truck factory as a spray painter when police walked in to arrest him. Not only did police have DNA evidence, but a forensic specialist had collected microscopic paint spheres. Microscopic, okay? From one of the victims and linked him to everything because they connected it to a specific brand of paint used at the factory that Gary worked at during the time frame of the murders.
Busted.
On December 18th, 2003, King County Superior Court Judge Richard Jones sentenced Ridgway to 48 life sentences with no possibility of parole and one life sentence to be served consecutively. He was also sentenced to an additional 10 years for tampering with evidence for each of the 48 victims, adding 480 years to his 48 life sentences.
I think he's going to be there for a while.
I think so. Ridgway confessed to more confirmed murders than any other American serial killer. Over a period of 5 months of police and prosecutor interviews, he confessed to 48 murders, 42 of which were on the police's list of probable Green River Killer victims. He said that murdering women was his career. Judith, his wife, who you can see on Instagram at Joan Alex Show, was completely blindsided and could not believe that her picture-perfect husband and father to her son could be a killer.
It was like a brick wall dropped in front of me and didn't know what to do. Everything stopped.
And it feels that way even today, as if time is standing still, because Judith can still hear the sound of police cars coming down the driveway to deliver the news.
It's a day I'll probably never forget.
A day when life as she knew it began to unravel. How could the man she adored for 16 years be a killer?
He was always happy. His smile never changed when, for me.
Wow.
Isn't that so sad? I mean, she was really in her mind, a picture-perfect marriage. She said they, like, never fought.
And she didn't do anything, like you said, previous people, like...
She had no idea. She just didn't watch the news. She had no idea what was going around on around her. Their son, Matthew, had no idea that at times his dad was murdering women around him. His dad, like you heard in the very first clip, in the first part, talked about how he was in the car once and he had picked up a prostitute and they pulled over and him and the girl got out of the car and he murdered her in the woods and came back in the car with his son. His son had no idea. He also had planned a camping trip with his son and in their bags had a bunch of body parts.
Oh my gosh.
And ended just up to disposing to dispose them in the woods during their father-son camping trip.
Son, can you grab that bag for me? Well, it's kind of heavy, Dad.
Yeah.
Don't worry, boy.
Don't worry about it. So their son, Matthew, described his dad after his arrest as a loving dad who never missed a soccer game. I mean, the scariest thing about the Green River Killer is that you truly can't trust anyone, even those closest to you.
See, that scares me. Like, how do we know, like, Lindsay, like, the Egyptian, and, like, Joel Daddy, like, how do we know they're not out murdering people right now?
We don't.
Oh,
we
my
don't.
Gosh. And Lindsay, yeah, I just, the other night she had some stuff in her hands.
What stuff?
I don't know.
What do you mean?
Do you think she's the Monon Trail Killer? We just don't
know. Monon Trail Killer. There is no Monon Trail Killer.
Now, let me ask you this. You're obviously way into the murder stuff than I am, but I wonder with this guy. I don't feel bad because he killed all these people, but I feel bad some of the things that happened. Like his mom was almost incestual, pretty much molested
she
him
was.
In front of his siblings.
Well, there was other stuff that went on too, I think.
Okay,
yeah.
Wow. So let me ask you this. Do you think if his mom would not have sexually like touched him and did things and messed him up like that,
could he have been normal?
Do you think he would have been, or do you think there's
yes.
something deep down inside that he just was going to kill no matter what?
Here's what I think. I think that everyone has something in them that could make them turn evil. And I think your environment dictates whether or not you turn evil.
I think that's kind of true and kind of wrong. I think that people, everyone has something that happens to them throughout their life that's a changing moment. I think some people it's worse than others.
Yeah.
Like what you go through as a child, however traumatic it is or not, and the way that you deal with it and the way that you react to it, that's what differs you from a psychopath and a not psychopath.
Hey, Liv, how close would you say you are to being pushed to that edge?
Sometimes with you, I'm pretty close, Joe.
What's, me?
What's really crazy is that when these murders were happening, serial killer Ted Bundy had already been caught and he was in prison. And Ted Bundy reached out to the lead investigator and said, hey, I think that I could help you solve this case. I think that I could help profile the Green River Killer and help you figure out, like, you know, who he is and stuff. And
yeah.
he is actually the one who told investigators, I'm pretty sure that this guy, you need to stake out the places that you're finding these bodies, because I think he's going back and visiting them and having relations with them after they were buried.
No. Oh.
And he was right. So Ted Bundy kind of was an intricate part, which is crazy. I don't think that we've covered Ted Bundy yet on Murder Monday. Maybe we will soon. But
yeah.
If you don't know about him yet, maybe we'll do that in the future. But he is one of the biggest serial killers of all time. And so he kind of had played a part in catching this guy.
All right. That is the Green River Killer here on Murder Monday. Check it out on our Instagram. See him and the family at Joe and Alex Show. Thank you so much, Alex. All right, listen up. I love my grandma, love my mom, love all the older people in my life, but they don't have it as bad as any of us do here. I mean, things are way more stressful. They're a lot harder than it used to be back in the day. These are some stressful situations that our grandparents never, ever, ever had to deal with. For example, you ever go on Facebook, and I've been guilty of this, same thing with Instagram, and I guess you could call it almost like a deep like, but it's where you go back, you're just scrolling through stuff, and you accidentally
yes.
heart something or like it. You're like, oh, hey, creeper. Hey, how are you doing? Nice to see you.
That's the worst. I've done that on Instagram, and I actually wanted to bury myself.
Yeah. Yep.
Was it a girl or a guy?
It was a guy.
So they probably like, oh, she thinks I'm hot as hell.
It was so embarrassing.
You're absolutely right. Our grandparents have no idea how good they have it without having to deal with that.
The other thing that I kind of thought of was, I don't know if we do this. I would hope you guys would come in and work and not fake it, but we've all probably done it before in our lives where we, hey, I can't come in today. I'm sick. And you're like, I'm going to go out and get crazy today. You're going to have like a little Monday fun day probably, or just have a good time. Our parents or grandparents back in the day, if they called in sick, who is going to tag them in a photo?
You're right.
Or take a picture of them?
Put them on an Instagram story. Nobody.
You know what? One time I was supposed to go to a family party and I said that I was like too sick to come. I had too bad of a cold.
Oh, poor Liv.
And then my family saw me posting on my Instagram story at a tailgate. So,
Liv.
How dumb are you?
That was great of me.
Oh, come on. These are stressful situations that our grandparents never had to deal with. And if you got one, you can tweet us at Joe and Alex Show. I'd like to hear what you come up with. Let's say this. This is something I'm always worried about because I don't hear that well. Like, I think I have lost my hearing, and I do talk quite loud. We all talk really loud. We project. It's when you're talking about somebody, and then they know about it. For example, back in the day, it would be like in person in a room. We'd be talking, like, oh, did you hear about blah, 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 blah. Now, though, it's like, oh, crap, I accidentally group texted the wrong person, and
yeah.
They're actually inside the group text.
How about this? One time we were talking about this guy who I thought was hot, and my friend was just Snapchatting like the environment we were in, like the brunch place we were in, not meaning to get our conversation in it. And my friend goes, oh, what do you guys think of Mason? And I was like, oh my gosh, he's so hot. And then my friend goes, I think he looks like Michael Jackson. And she posted on her story, not knowing that
oh my God.
The audio was in there. And so then him and all of his fraternity brothers knew that I thought he was hot and that my friend thought he looked like Michael Jackson.
And that's Sorority Stories with Liv.
All right, those are some things. If your grandparents say, oh, I had it so tough back in the day, say, no, you didn't, Grandma. You're a liar.
And they also don't have to stress about finding the perfect Instagram caption. You
oh,
know?
My gosh.
A filter.
Yeah, or a filter.
You know what? That's a good point, because back in the day, you had to stand still for like 3 minutes for your photo. You're just like... It is the Joe and Alex Show, and this is kind of interesting, because I don't know what you're talking about, but Alex, you have an experience with our Lord and Savior?
Yes.
All right, what's going on?
Okay, so I was at dinner with the Egyptian over the weekend, and I went into my notes on my iPhone to type something in really quick, like take a note of something.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed that the last note that was written didn't look familiar.
And, did he take your phone and like just mess with it or something?
Well, okay, so I open up this note and it says it was written on August 2nd at 9:02 p.m. Okay?
August 2nd, okay. 9:02
p.m. Which I believe was a Thursday.
Okay.
Liv can verify.
Yeah, it was last Thursday.
Okay, so last Thursday at 9 o'clock at night.
Or two Thursdays ago.
I was asleep. I don't sleep with my phone in my bed with me. I put it on my nightstand so it's away from me. I wasn't with anyone when this note was written. So it says, dreams follow me and they follow you as you follow Christ, is what this note says. And I looked at this and I looked at the Egyptian and I said, did you write this on my phone? And he's like, write what? And I showed him. He's like, no, I don't know what this is. And I was like, are you messing with me? And he was like, no, I swear. I have no idea what this is. I texted my mom. I said, Mom. And none of them were with me at this time, but I'm just trying to figure out why is this in my phone, because I did not write this. And I said, Mom, did you put this in my phone? She said, no. I asked my best friends. No one knows what this is. I Googled this phrase, dreams follow me and they follow you as you follow Christ. Nothing comes up. It's not a song lyric. It's not anything. Siri didn't accidentally record it from anything. It's just in my phone, right?
Okay.
So behind the scenes, just to be very transparent with you, in my life right now, I'm dealing with a lot of stress and anxiety about my career. Just figuring out, there's a lot of things going on. Figuring out what I want, and just dealing with a lot of anxiety around that and freaking out. And I have had lots of days where I'm just crying because I am so anxious about stuff going on in my personal life with my career. And so when I saw this, I was like, okay, as crazy as this sounds, and I feel like I have gone over every single explanation possible that could be a coincidence, none of them are panning out. Did Jesus leave me a note in my phone? Because if you look at what this says, dreams follow me and they follow you as you follow Christ. That's basically, when I read that, to me, that's saying that, you know, God's plan is always way bigger than the plan that we think that we have for ourselves. And if we follow him and put him first, then he's going to bring stuff in our life and have, you know, bigger plans than we could come up with on our own. And so he's saying dreams follow me and they will follow you if you follow me. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yes.
Jesus text messaging.
Yes. I 1000% get what you're saying. I think it's a powerful message. Just one thing too. You have in the past been guilty of taking Ambien before you go to sleep.
I knew you were going to say that.
It's real loopy.
Totally real. You were Ambien texting yourself Jesus notes.
I knew you guys were going to say that. And I am telling you, I have never done that. I have never been somebody.
How do you know, Alex,
because
if you don't know?
Because I've taken Ambien every single night for like 4 months now.
317-239-1009. Has anybody else received contact from Jesus or God via a note in your phone? Or have you accidentally done something while you're on Ambien? Because listen, I love the Lord and Savior. I love God and Jesus. But I think Alex, like Liv just pointed out, this might have been an Ambien moment.
So the Egyptian has a best friend that's a pastor locally.
Oh, okay.
And we sent this to him to analyze, okay? So we sent in the text. He said, she's going through a lot of transition, or what could be transition.
Were you becoming a man?
No, with career, just figuring stuff out. He said, maybe he's grabbing her attention and not focus on what she wants. Maybe he's calling her back to what he wants. Maybe he's saying, yield to me, ask me. When you get a yield sign, you are to yield the right of way. I don't find it ironic that he talks about my dreams first and ends with something about as we follow his, or whatever it said. Maybe God is asking her to yield what she thinks she should do to what he is saying. I don't know, just my thoughts again, just from thinking about it.
Hey, good morning. This is the Joe and Alex Show. Who is this?
Hi, my name is Caitlin, and I'm taking my kids to school right now, and I'm listening to what's going on. And I have anxiety right now because literally when she was talking about that, my radio changed to 104.5 by itself.
What is that, K-Love?
No. Well, that's like the classic rock station, I think. So,
my hands are on the steering wheel. My kids are like asleep. Like, I'm like,
like Satan is trying to, you know what? Satan is trying to infiltrate the radio station.
No.
Yes, take away from me talking about God
Satan
in my life.
If Satan was trying to do that, he would have put it on CPL or something like that.
That's what's happening.
Talk to me too, because he just changed my radio station.
No, God, that wouldn't be God. That's the devil.
I know everything. I'm the devil.
Wow. Are you?
That's not good. I'm not okay with that either.
All right, let's say a prayer together. Dear Lord, what's your name again?
Caitlin.
Please protect Caitlin from the evil music stations that are here to take us away from her.
Guys, I mean, we're kind of laughing about this, but I'm dead serious. I think that this is totally a God thing.
Good morning, Joe and Alex. So who's this?
Hi, this is Amber.
Hey, Amber, did your radio station randomly change too?
I totally was having the worst day of my life. I was crying. It was just, we all have those days. And I went to leave my house, and the same message that was sent to her was on a bracelet by my front door. I'm not even kidding.
What are you talking about?
Wow.
And I do have an Ambien story, though. My Aunt Linda takes Ambien and would fall asleep painting her nails. She drove a car and had she had denture dust in her lap and hit a tree, and the denture dust was everywhere. So I get both of them, but I totally had the first thing happen to me. It was so great.
I had goosebumps just when you said that first story.
And I tell you, and even if you did write it and you got it later on, you were meant to read that when you read it.
Yeah, I think, and there's nothing wrong with it either way. I don't think that actually Jesus hacked in your phone or God hacked into your phone.
But why? Okay.
I think maybe you had a conversation with Jesus or God, and that you were on your Ambien and you were able to type it right there.
No, here's the thing.
I'm not trying to say it's not real, but I don't know how he could get into your phone.
But you are. But that's what I'm saying. But see, you're limiting God and the things that God can do. He's God, so He could do anything.
Oh,
I
know He can do anything.
Because here's the thing that I always pray for. So in my personal relationship with Christ, okay, I always pray for give me very obvious signs of things. Speak to me very directly, because that is how I work the best, and I always pray for that. When I'm going through things in life and I need answers and I'm looking to God to direct me, that's what I do. And then this note shows up. You're telling me that you think that it's impossible, because to me, I'm like, well, with God, all things are possible. And if He really wanted to get through to me and He's like, hey, I'm trying to grab your attention because what I've been doing is stressing out and forgetting that I need to be looking to Him for direction first and foremost. Maybe that's what's going on here.
I'm not trying to poo-poo it. I think, like Liv brought up a point, just to consider, was it the Ambien?
Well, I don't think it was, and I put a screenshot of this note on Instagram at Joan Alex Show.
All right, go ahead and check that out. So we were gone on Thursday and Friday. Thank you so much to Liv, the web girl, holding down the fort. Did an amazing job. And so far, we've had no complaints from listeners about you doing anything or swearing. So that's very, very good. We're proud of you.
Thank you.
But something happened on... it was Thursday. It was the first day of this 2-day like morning show radio seminar to try to get better and, you know, make the show better. I don't know if it'll work or not, but that's what we were doing. And I'm going up there and I'm pouring myself a cup of coffee. You know, it's free, which, you know, that's my favorite thing. And of course, Alex hates coffee, so she just was kind of keeping an eye on our seat. Oh, yeah. It was good. It was like Starbucks or something. It was free.
Nice.
Like, it was better than our work stuff. And you know who I saw? Somebody I've never seen in the almost 2 years that the Joe and Alex Show has been here in Indianapolis. I saw Dave Smiley from the Smiley Show. He's over there on ZPL.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And like, I got respect for the guy. To be honest, I want to beat them. Like, our goal is to be the number one show in Indianapolis.
Sure. Competition.
Of course. And that's, otherwise, why would we have a job? That's why we were hired to do that. And I met Nikki before. I ran into her. She's kind of his female co-host. Ran into her at Meyer, but I've never met Tony, I think her name is, and their producer, Will. I think it's Will. And they were, I saw all them and I said hi to them, but I see the Smiley guy and I'm like, oh my gosh, I should say hi, right? You know, make an introduction and not make it awkward because we're both there at the same time. I'm getting my cup of coffee. And I say, after I fill up, I got the coffee in my hand. I'm like, hey, Dave, what's going on? I'm Joe Pesch from the Joe and Alex Show. Hey, man, nice to finally meet you. He's like, hey, Joe, and a cup of Joe. Like making a joke, kind of.
Right.
And he's like, what market do you work in?
Oh. Oh, my God. The secondhand embarrassment with that is chilling.
Pretty much he's saying, what city, you know, are you doing your show from? And I am never, I mean, call me out if I'm wrong, Alex, but I've never been like, don't you know who I am? Because at the end of the day, we're just lucky people that get to talk for a living. I don't think I'm better than anybody else. I appreciate if people like our show and want to meet us and say hi. I'm just a regular average Joe.
Right.
So I don't expect people to know me, but I know.
You would think that our main competition would know who we are, because you need to know who your competition is.
I know everybody in Indy. I know the TV people. It's just you get, and when you work in media, you know things. It's like if you work for, you know, one company, you know the other company.
This is bad.
It's like, hey, I work at McDonald's. Oh, who's my competitor? Wendy's? Or
right.
Talk about, like, you know people, like other businesses. And I told other people that because I felt awkward. And he's like, oh, man, that's awkward. But I don't know if it was just like a friendly, awkward exchange, because that's the first time I've ever met him. But I had other radio people like, oh, yeah, he kind of does that. He's an a-hole.
Like, he did it on purpose to make you feel bad? Like, oh, I don't know who you are. Like, I'm so unbothered by you guys being my competition that I just don't know.
And I just didn't know if it was... He laughed about it. So I don't know if it was just, like, an honest mistake or if he just was kind of being a D-head.
Oh, Liv the Web Girl, what do you think?
Hearing that story.
Maybe he was being sarcastic, like he was joking. Either way, if I was with you in that moment, I would slowly back away and act like I did not know you.
Wait a minute, but you're on my team. You're supposed to have my back. You know that, right? We ride or die together.
I would be so embarrassed, like secondhand. I would be covering my face, being like, don't look at me.
As soon as Joe told me this happened, I was mortified for him, and I was so thankful I wasn't there, because I don't think I could show my face in the city
so
again.
I think it's all you have to say is like, hey, I'm Joe Pesh from the Joe and Alex Show. I don't say in Indianapolis, Indiana, but he said, what market are you in? I'm like, Indianapolis, Indiana. And he's thinking about it. He's processing. He's like, oh, me too. I'm like, duh.
Wait, he said me too. So
yes!
That still didn't even make him realize, like, oh,
and
it's the Joe and Alex Show, my competition.
I'm like, yeah, we go up against you in the morning.
And he didn't, what did he say?
He's like, oh, well, I can't believe, like, as if like he didn't, like it was a blonde moment or
that
something.
That makes me feel like he did that on purpose to make you feel bad.
I don't know if he did or not, but everybody I talked to, like, oh yeah, they said like he does D-bag stuff like that.
Yikes.
So I don't know. First time I met him, I don't think he's a bad person. I always give everybody the benefit of the doubt, because I don't want you to hear me on the air and judge me and think, oh, Joe's a total D-bag when you've never met me.
Other radio people said that he was kind of like that?
Yeah, I talked to some other people and like, oh, that's just him.
Yikes.
So I don't know. I don't know.
Gosh, who are these awkward. Other radio people?
I keep my sources secret, okay?
I want the tea!
I'm not giving you the tea right there.
I'll spell it for you. D-U-M-M-Y.
It's the dummy.
Come on, sing it.
It's the dummy of the day. It's the dummy.
Oh, yeah.
It's the dummy of the day on the Joe and Alex Show.
This is so funny. There's actually a video up on the Dummy of the Day blog of it happening. A giant floating unicorn, like a rainbow one. Have you seen these? Everybody has them in their pools.
Yes.
Okay, so they look really cool, but I don't think you should take them anywhere else besides a pool, because this might happen to you. It's got those rainbow colored wings. It was loaded up with a bunch of girls on a Saturday at a lake in Minnesota, and it ended up drifting because the wind was pushing it, and they got stuck in the nasty like seaweed and just like a big thing. They couldn't move. They were stuck in weeds and lily pads. Would that freak you out? I feel like you're like, oh my God, this is so gross.
Because if you're stuck, then your only option is to get into the water to swim out of that, and you'd be swimming in the gunk.
So what
and
do you
there's
do?
No way I would
do you just
that.
Push Karen? Get in the water, Karen!
Yeah.
Yeah, you make one person who's the least scared go in and rescue everyone.
Would you be the rescuer, or would you be stuck in there?
No, I'd probably be the rescuer. My friends would probably convince me into doing it.
But see, this the side of a lake or a river where it's like swampy looking like that, that's where the snakes are. So there's no way that I'd be getting, because I'm not scared of snakes, but I don't want to get bit, and like snakes on land don't scare me as much, or if someone's holding one, like at a zoo, I'm not scared.
But the water.
But swimming in water that I can't see, and then them potentially like biting me or something, that freaks me out.
I saw a snake that was a small little pond when I like, was a kid, and it was a snake in the water, and I never swam. I was like Michael Phelps. I was a fat Michael Phelps at like 12 years old. I was like, I've got to get to the other side. Oh my God. Because when you see a snake on water, it's
and
like, holy crap.
There's snapping turtles on those edges too.
Snakes in water might be the creepiest thing on the planet.
It is creepy.
Okay, the sheriff's office tweeted, they actually were nearby and spotted the dilemma. They said, driving by a local lake, we observe a bunch of ladies and a rainbow unicorn stuck in the weeds. And they actually have video. Well, like I said, you can see it on the Dummy of the Day blog. And this one, I'm so afraid this is going to happen to me, and not even as an old person. A woman got stuck in her recliner and had to call 911.
That's 1,000% going to happen to you, Joe.
Yeah, that's relatable for me, too, because I'm such a sloth.
Once I get a recliner, it'll happen. I just have a couch now. But officers answered a call on a shallow Ford Road after a woman reported a button switch had come off her power recliner.
Oh
no. The woman was stuck in the fully reclined position. I don't understand.
So what? She couldn't get up? I don't understand.
How she couldn't like roll to the right or to the left, right?
Yeah, I'm very confused. Doesn't she have any sort of core where she can just like lift herself up? Like, jeez.
Even I think I could do that
a
bit.
Like one crunch.
The woman
was she really obese?
It doesn't say. I'm assuming, Alex, she might have been both a combination of obese, like overweight, and old. I assume like she's always in the fully reclined position.
Jeez.
So she was stuck because the button popped off and she couldn't get to go back. So the officer was able to break into the house.
Oh my gosh.
Well, she's stuck. Who's going to open the door? The officer was able to retrieve the switch from the floor and properly fasten it to the chair.
It was just on the floor. All she had to do was put it back on.
Yes, but she couldn't move.
How long was she there for?
I think hours.
Jeez.
Till they finally got there.
Is anything else wrong with her?
No, it's just she's
okay,
an older
then this
lady.
Okay, the story is really funny.
Yeah, I agree. Like, not she had like a something bad happened, but they were able to fasten to the chair, allowing the woman to resume her normal position and activity.
Girl, put down the Cheez-Its. Like, that is not good.
This is future Alex right now. Except
I know.
It's put down the goldfish.
I know. Exactly. How is this making you feel? Is this making you like a little nervous?
Yes.
Or, like, get to the gym, girlfriend.
That absolutely makes me nervous. That's what I'm saying. This would happen to me if I don't stop.
You better never mock Life Alert again. Help, I'm reclined and I can't get up. We talked about this earlier, kind of when we were doing ticket tag, and you have more chances, by the way, to win at 12:30 and 5:30. What for you is the most binge-watch show? What are you binge-watching? I don't know who did this, but there's actual information out from streaming habits of all 50 states here in the U.S.
I've always wanted to know this.
And the top five shows, that's all I have is the top five shows. I didn't do every single state, but that are the most binge-watched so far in 2018. Coming in at number five, Friends. They say that's the most binge-watched in Idaho, Michigan, Oregon, and Vermont.
Interesting.
I tried because I never watched Friends growing up, and I don't think it's a bad show. It's just it didn't appeal to me even back then.
Yeah, me too. I've never been able to watch it either, but I have talked about this on the show briefly before. I just don't like shows with laugh tracks, so it's hard for me to get into it. I thought, actually, yesterday I was thinking, because I was watching P.S. I Love You, which is on Netflix right now, that old chick flick. It's super sad. But I was watching that, and Lisa Kudrow's in that, and so she's from Friends.
Yep.
And I was like, I don't know, maybe I should just try it, but I have a feeling I am not going to like it.
I feel like, just in general, if you know you don't like something, if you tell yourself, Alex, you don't like something,
then I won't.
I don't think you'll even give yourself a chance. It'd be cool if you did, but I don't think you'd make it through an episode.
Well, no, I don't think either.
What was number four?
Number four, it was Grey's Anatomy in six states: Connecticut, Hawaii, Maine, Minnesota, New Jersey, and New Mexico. Do you watch that?
I love Grey's Anatomy. I have seen every single episode of every single season.
Wow.
It is one of the best series in the entire world. It's so dramatic. It has, I think, the best love story in all television.
Ooh.
My favorite one of all time. Goals. I mean, love that show.
Recently, I tried watching the first episode because that's a show I've never seen, and I just it wasn't clicking for me.
Is that the show with Dr. McDreamy?
Yes, and McSteamy.
Oh,
are those two different people?
Those sound like a new meal at McDonald's.
Yeah.
Well,
like,
I know, it's
McSteamy?
A joke. They made them up. That's not their real names. They made them up as a joke.
Okay.
Yeah.
Who's
like,
these desperate women?
Okay,
the fans.
They are not desperate women. They're actually incredibly intelligent doctors, Joe.
No, I'm saying who made up the names?
The fans of the show?
No, the girls on the show.
Oh,
they
call
them. They made nicknames for the doctors.
I thought it was just some like hot and bothered housewives. Like,
gotcha.
Oh yeah, Dr. McSteamy.
Like on Facebook.
Come steam this bad boy up. Coming in at number three. I'm sorry. You know, I actually skipped over. Grey's Anatomy was third. I don't even know if I've heard of the show. Number four, which you asked about earlier, Alex, was Supernatural. Have you heard of that? Supernatural.
Is Supernatural the show, the Superman show? The one that had the Allison Mack, the cult leader in it?
I honestly don't. Let me Google that real quick. But it was in five states: Colorado, South Dakota, Tennessee, West Virginia, and Wyoming. It's so interesting to see where these shows are big at, with the kind of similar states at least. What is that
Supernatural? I don't see her in this, so maybe this is something else.
All right.
It sounds stupid.
Yeah, I don't think I would like that.
Let's see here. Number two, I really like this, and I'm looking forward to next season, but I know Alex is going to poo-poo it. Seven states, California, Delaware, Georgia, Mississippi, Missouri, Nevada, and Oklahoma, have been binge-watching the crap out of 13 Reasons Why.
It's good stuff.
It's good. I'm looking forward to the next season.
I hated the last season, so I'm not.
I didn't like how it ended, but I want to see more.
I refuse to watch season two, but Joel Daddy has a friend named Bryce, and I'm like, ugh, that is a rough time.
Oh, no, yeah.
Bryce right now. Rough time.
And the number one show, without peeking, Alex, what do you think is the most binge-watched show of 2018 so far online, like Netflix and Hulu?
Is it The Office?
You are correct.
Woo!
Yep, it's number one in 12 states: Arizona, Florida, Indiana. Thanks, Alex.
It's me.
Iowa, Kansas, Louisiana, Massachusetts, New York, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Rhode Island, and Texas.
Wow, I'm telling you what, if you are still one of the only two people left on Earth that have not watched this show, it is so funny, so great, and you will binge watch it over and over and over again.
It's a tearjerker just because that's how funny it is.
Yes.
Literal tears.
I liked it up until season seven, then it lost me.
I did the first time around, and now I like all of it.
All right, cool. Well, let us know what it is for you. Joe and Alex Show on Twitter.